Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thugging like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Vogue, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. Cause we off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yacht from UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You wait me?
Tiffany Levine.
And this Queen Crazy, your girl, she's a bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
Love y'all. This is Miss Irresistible, and you're listening to Off the Cuff Radio. Giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, Off the Cuff Clown.
Yeah. Mic check 1, 2, 1, 2. We are in the building for episode 335, y'all. Special edition of Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric the Great. Sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment. Sponsored by Screwball Radio. Sponsored by Dirty Basement, Jesse Boutique, Core Financial to get your financial game right. And we lit it, man. We lit it right now. So I got my host, T-Max, with the facts.
What it do, what it do. Monday night, it's that Thunder. It's OTC in the building. King Eric, of course.
Yes.
Myself, shout out to our co-host in spirit. A lot of Sandman and Lace and Chiller. And yo, King, we got a special one tonight, man.
I'm telling you, man, this guy right here, he been laying the game down flat for 10-plus. Motivational speaker, author, actor, game motivator. And he's here tonight to talk to us about the Game Kings documentary.
Yep.
With a studded cast of black dating coaches. So without further ado, let's bring out Mr. Lucario, y'all.
Yep. Yo, what's going on? What's going on? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Man,
what's going
we
on
Gucci,
with you,
my brother?
I'm chilling, man. I'm glad to be here, man. How long has it been? I forgot the last time I was on your show was like 3 years ago or something?
Yeah, it was about 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. And let us know what's been going on with you, man, since you got down with us.
Yeah, man, just been doing a lot of different projects, you know what I'm saying? Putting out some more books, doing more lectures at different events. Coaching more men and women, and I just put out my Game Kings documentary, which is the first documentary strictly on game that's ever existed. So I'm like, you know, I'm excited about that, and the documentary is crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Tell us about Game Kings, man. Like linking up with Rosebud, that was one of the eye catches of the cover and, you know, the documentary itself. Like, how do you make that connection happen? Because I know Rosebud is like a very subtile brother to get in touch with.
Yeah, so what happened was Steve the Dean, who's also on the documentary, he was cool with Rosebud. So when I was telling Steve that I was doing the documentary, he was like, yo, you know, I can holler at Rosebud for you. And I was like, yeah, let's make that happen. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, that would be crazy. So then we hit up Rosebud. And the funny part was that when I first met Rosebud, it was me and my business partner Miles, and we was out in Nevada. That's where Rosebud's at. And we was chilling. We was meeting up with him, and we got dinner with him. And so he got dinner with us because he wanted to sort of like vet us to make sure we wasn't on some goofy stuff. You know what I'm saying? So he wanted, because he didn't really know us like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he wanted to vet us and see where our heads was at when it came to game, you know what I'm saying? But then when we chopped it up and he saw that we was real, he was really like down to make it happen, you know what I'm saying? So that's how that came about.
That's what it is, man. And you know, you having Rosebud, and of course for those who remember, you know, the American Pimp documentary that the Hughes brothers did, it was released back in 1999.
Right.
Everybody know what that double D is, double dose of that pimping. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, you got that dialogue going in terms of teaching dude how to get Rapunzel to bring her hair down, you know what I'm saying? All types of the game dialogue to get in the G spot and the G strings and them PYT things, you know what I mean? So
right, man.
I mean, it's, you know, so one thing about it is, and King told me about you, you know, it's a great honor and privilege to, you know, meet you, you know, because it's my first time, you know, being on the show interviewing you. Tell us a little bit about, in terms of your years, you know, for our audience that may not necessarily be familiar. Tell, you know, or if you want to get more of an expedited up to date, where did you break that Da Vinci Code of the wisdom of words with women in terms of how to really, you know, massage their minds? And where do you see a lot of the issues going on with the relationship status with black men and women today in terms of a lot of stuff? Because we got a lot of topics to cover, you know, in terms of how
we
it comes up to,
yeah,
you know,
we
you,
got,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
you know, go ahead. Yeah, wherever you want to start at, go ahead.
No, I think one of the things is with me, the way that I learned a lot of stuff that I learned that I teach is from a lot of people, players that was around my neighborhood. I used to just observe what they would do, and then once I started to, you know, observe, then I started to ear hustle. I started to listen to what they were saying, and then since they saw that I was interested, that's when they would put me on to certain things. And then so there was things that I learned from an early age, since I was like, you know, maybe 15, 16, when I was just a teenager, that I was picking up on. And then so as I got older and as I started to, you know, interact with more women and do my thing, and I was making a lot of mistakes. And then I was always interested in figuring things out and I was always interested in the psychology of, you know, people, you know what I'm saying? Why people do things, why people don't do things, why are people interested in certain things. Even with myself, I would always ask myself, why do I like this girl? Why am I interested in this movie? Why do I care about this topic? You know what I'm saying? And so as I delved more into that, you know what I'm saying? And I delved more into, you know, dealing with women and everything like that. What happened was, like, the way that I got started in this, it was my business partner, Miles. We were just chilling. I used to do music back in the day. So we were just chilling or whatever. And I was like, look, I want to start something that's my own thing. And so we wrote out a list of things that I thought I was good at. And one of the things on the list was getting women. You know what I'm saying? So that's how the whole thing
that's
came
a good
about
thing.
Me actually coaching. Right. Actually coaching men on how to attract women. So that's where it all started from. You know what I mean? But as far as like the situations nowadays between men and women is, you know, it's really one of the big issues is there's a lot of men nowadays who are, you know, they're ignoring their masculine essence. They're not, you know, they don't care about being masculine anymore, or they're conditioned to not be masculine. And then on the flip side, you have a lot of women who are conditioned to be masculine and ignore the femininity. You know what I'm saying? So that those two things kind of have thrown the game a little off in certain situations, which is why you have a lot of confusion and a lot of things not going the way they should be going nowadays. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Now, do you think with a lot of that confusion, I mean, you cut you off, but do you think with a lot of that confusion, it comes easy access to a lot of the game, because We live in an era now where a lot of people have a podcast now, and everybody giving their perspective of the game, even if it's not the right type of game. So now, do you think that kind of makes your job a little bit more challenging?
Oh yeah, of course. Because like I was on somebody else's show the other day, and I was talking about that. I said things like YouTube, and different mediums like that are great because it gives everybody a voice. But I also said that's what's bad about it is that it gives everybody a voice. You know what I'm saying? So now people who might not necessarily be that well versed in the game and they're not really living what they're talking about, they have audiences now. So you have a person like blind leading the blind. You know what I'm saying? And so guys who are really trying to learn, they're learning from people who don't know what they really don't know what they're talking about. So then now. What happens is you got people misleading other people, and then when I try to teach people, like, okay, this is how the game is operating, this is how things are really actually going out in the real world, it's almost like they got, like back in the day when you have to do a grade over, you have to do the whole grade over because you messed up the first time. So that's what happens. It's like they get left back. You know what I'm saying? Like the people that are trying to learn, they're getting left back, or they got to start from square one because the stuff that they were hearing, it wasn't from a person who was authentic. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was from people who don't really know what they're talking about and just trying to make money. You know what I'm saying?
And one thing about it, the fact of the matter is this, you're absolutely right, because a lot of times when you're dealing with an art of dialogue in terms of dealing with women, you have to get it from a source that is actually a scholar in the art of macking, you know what I'm saying? Or you're going to be that square stuck in a box doing a remedial, not making a grade, moving them numbers up, you know?
And that's
something that, this is a great show that we're doing because we can go from a lot of different questions to get your opinions on it. One thing about it that seems to be the lament, me and King have talked about this off air a lot, and I've talked about this with my friends, because this is great to get this from an expert, what is going on with the situation where a lot of women will constantly pick the wrong men, but then say there are no good men out there? And I think this is one of the oldest in the recent years questions, because for a lot of brothers, you know, a lot of niggas is like, yo, it's like, you know, I'm a good dude. I handle my business, my credit good. You know, I got a job, you know, I'm responsible, you know, and me and King have talked about this in terms of our theory. We wanted to get your theory in terms of what is it with the attraction women have with men that are irresponsible at the least and at the most dire, dangerous, and even deadly for them to associate with.
Right. Well, the thing is, what people have to understand, and this is what especially confuses men, is that the most powerful form of attraction between men and women is sexual attraction. So what happens is that a woman, let's say for example, you got a guy who, he's one of these dudes out in the street that's doing a bunch of nonsense, and you know he ain't really doing anything great for the community. He's not really an upstanding citizen or nothing. But this dude, he exudes, you know,
that
masculinity,
that alpha,
as far
male
as
energy,
being a
that alpha male energy.
Right. You understand what I'm saying? And so that guy is going to be more attractive than the guy that's in college getting his degree and working and making money. And so the thing is, it's like this. I always say it like this. It's like if you had, for example, you had the choice to eat broccoli or pizza, right? The broccoli is good for you, but pizza is more attractive. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like somebody saying, well, why do they keep picking the pizza? They keep picking the pizza because the pizza is more attractive, even though the broccoli is good for them. So a lot of these guys out here who are college educated, who have a good job, who are good dudes, they're the broccoli. You understand what I'm saying? But the other guys on the other end who are in the street selling drugs, they're the pizza. You see what I'm saying? So they're more sexually attractive to women than the other guys who are in school and doing what they got to do. And now the reason why women say it's hard to find a good man is because what happens is when women are trying to get with or dealing with the most attractive guys, the most attractive guy doesn't necessarily want to just stay with one woman. So let's say you have a girl named Stephanie, and Stephanie's like, she meets a guy named Kevin. So Kevin is like the most attractive dude. But 20 different girls want Kevin. So all 20, he's going to, Kevin's going to mess with all 20 of those girls. But what he's going to do, he's going to have sex with them and keep moving. So then now all those girls are going to be like, there's no good man. But there's 100 other guys on the side trying to get with these 20 girls, but all 20 of them want Kevin. You see what I'm saying? So it's not that there's no good men. It's that the man that the women want, they're not, they can't keep him. You see what I'm saying? Because he got too many women that he could get with, so he's not trying to settle down with any one particular girl. And if he was to settle down with any one particular girl, he would have to be exceptional. And most women have never cultivated the skill or the know-how to be exceptional. Most women coast on their looks and their sex game. You know what I'm saying? Which is not enough to actually keep a man anyway. You see what I mean?
You know,
and you know what?
That's real.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that's real. Oh, well, you know, that's real because a lot of times, a good friend of mine, out in Vegas, we politic a lot. And, you know, a lot of women will call, you know, he's a great dude, you know, has his own publication. And a lot of women call him, you know, a black woman hater, which he is not, but he is anti-black woman bullshit. Because his thing is, you know, there's a situation where a lot of times, you know, a lot of black women talk about how black men don't keep them safe or, you know, and protected. And we have to look at the nuance and the minutia of it. Because when you're looking at protection, protection is when, well, let's break it from this. The safe is when you're trying to keep the danger from reaching. And then the protection is keeping them safe after the danger has come. And a lot of black women will say, well, you know, black men don't protect us. They don't value us. I'm like, no, a lot of black men do protect and value. You want to value you. But it's like when you make the wrong decisions, you cannot scream about, you know, niggas ain't shit, this, that, and the other when you put yourself in a position where, you know, because you said something that is going to be controversial, but if this is something that, like you said, needs to be spoken on, and this is not woman bashing. We all love women, but like you said, a lot of women like to coast off of the fact that if they are very attractive, if they got a lot of men coming towards them, they get in that vanity, some of them, of trying to be like, well, I can have this dude, and that dude, although this dude, and that dude aren't good. You know, but it's like you said, they're coasting off of their looks where a lot of them have not cultivated themselves financially, you know, or academically, but yet and still they want a man who they, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that we, because this is off the cuff, we just going to go there. There's a lot of issues with this because it turns into an area of where, you know, where it goes into the situations of, well, you know, because a lot of times some black women like to get to think, well, you know, black men always want to mess with the white women. I'm like, well, it's not necessarily that. It's a situation where depending on the social status of the man that you're aspiring to get with, he may already be a millionaire, whomever. They're dealing with other millionaires, and a lot of times they're going to be in the area of where there are a lot of white people. It's not necessarily black woman shaming in terms of they don't want black women. It goes to another level. How many black women actually really deal with that black man who's really working towards something? But the thing is, he's working towards it, but a lot of black women want it when it's already there. I'll even go with Kanye and Kim. It's not a situation where black women having an issue about Kanye marrying a white woman. It's the issue that Kim, and no disrespect to none of the Kardashians, I love all them girls. I think they get a bad rap. But the thing is, the Kardashians, there's so much vitriol and unnecessary and irrational hate towards them because they are that epitome of the white woman that black women see black men leaving them for.
And well, also, too, the problem kind of is with that situation is you have a lot of black women on the front end not understanding or knowing how to basically be that type of woman that not only is black women, but just men are looking for in general. Because men, generally, we want a woman who's submissive, a woman who's going to be feminine, a woman who's not going to have an attitude. You understand what I'm saying? So, the problem is, and see, this is the hard part between black men and black women, is that black men and this is the funny part, black men on the scale of everyone in society, black men are at the bottom. So what happens is it's hard for black women to respect black men because we are on the bottom. You understand what I'm saying? But now on mm-hmm. the flip side, even though we are on the bottom, we are looked at as the bad boys, quote unquote, of society, which is why other races of women are attracted to us sexually. You see what I'm saying?
Which is why it's easy
for a lot of black men, to, you know what I'm saying, to get a white girl in and get this type of girl to just deal with him because he's looked at as more attractive. You see what I'm saying? So it's those two dynamics happening, you know, at the same time. You see what I mean?
Right.
Now, another problem I want to see, too, is there's another problem, too, and you touched on this a lot, because what I like about your channel, I don't subscribe to a lot of dating gurus, but you know, you supported us, so it's only like we support you. Now, what I like about your channel is you don't sugarcoat none of that. Like, all these myths that society has given a lot of men, the fairy tale ending, you kill all that. You let them know what it is, like straight black and white. And you got, and I wanted to bring you on to let these brothers know, man, like, tell these brothers here, like, just because you got your ish together don't mean that coochie is going to fly on your lap.
Right, right.
Set it off.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about. We have a lot of people out here spreading misinformation. See, what happens is this. You got to understand that most people, when they try to cope with their situation, they create mm-hmm. stories and narratives that go along with their situation and stuff that's going to make them feel good. So what happens is when a guy doesn't have game and he's scared to approach women, he's nervous about women, he really got no game or whatever, he comes up with things that say, okay, well, if I get my money right and if I get myself together, then women are going to start to chase me. So what it's doing is it's taking himself outside the responsibility of actually becoming an attractive guy to interact with a woman, because the attraction that a woman has for a man comes from a man's assertiveness and aggressiveness. So what happens is you can't be passive and be attracted to women. So you trying to just get money, get cars, and get all this stuff, and get, you know, get your shit together and all that other stuff, that's fine for you. Then that's good that you should do that as a man. But if you're doing that in attempts to attract women, what happens is that that's not going to work. And the only women that you're going to attract in general are women who's going to use you for those things. Because women, again, like I said earlier, the highest form of attraction is the sexual attraction. Because there's basically five types of attraction. There's physical attraction, sexual attraction, attraction based off behavior, attraction based off resources, and attraction based off of friendship. So what happens is that when you're using the context of money and all that other stuff, you can attract women, but you're attracting women who are getting with you because of your resources. Now, what happens is nowadays in 2020, most women are making more money than most guys out here. So the thing is, women don't necessarily need your money, which at the same time increases a woman's desire to just be with the man she's sexually attracted to. So if you're the type of guy who doesn't know how to attract women on a sexual level, you having your stuff together and all of that is not going to really do much because it's not as needed as it used to be back in the day. So back in the day, a woman may gravitate to a guy with a lot of resources because she couldn't find work as easily or she wasn't making as much money as a man. But nowadays, that's not the case. You see what I mean? But a lot of guys, they don't get that aspect of the game, and that's why they confuse it. And they think that I can do these things and then the women are going to come. I always hear that. They were like, well, if you just focus on your purpose and you focus on these things, women are going to come to you. And that's not how women operate. Women don't just come to you. You know what I'm saying? Women are going to come to you as a result of you creating an experience with her. So what that means is, for example, if you want a woman to chase you, what you need to do is you would first need to interact with that woman so she has some type of experience, meaning, for example, I may need to approach her, talk to her, get her number, you know, and go on one date with her. Now that she went on that one date or she hung out with me that one time, now she experienced me and therefore she will chase. But just because I have, you know, a lot of money or just because I have my stuff together does it mean a woman's going to actually chase you? Because I could walk into a club with one of my friends, and he could have $10 million in the bank. Nobody knows he has $10 million in the bank when he first walks in. He still has to approach the girl, talk to her, and interact with her. You see what I'm saying?
And that's real. You know, and the one thing about it, me and King have always talked about this, is that money doesn't make the man. One of my, and this is another situation, too, like you said about how everything plays on that. One of my very best friends in the world was a former porn star. Not going to say her name, of course, but and I'm not going to say the site she was on, you know, but she did some major stuff. And that's one of my best friends. And we talk about these things. And one thing that niggas really, really get fucked up on in terms of the money factor is buying pussy. And
this
is something that is – this is a very real situation. This is something I've always – look, I will condone drug dealing, assassinations, extortion, kidnappings. I will never go with the fact of buying pussy. And I say all that in jest. But the one thing about it is me and her were talking about that one time, and she was like, the thing is, because this happened to me, to the chick I knew was trying to, you know, was hitting me up for cash and even proposed me to fuck. And I was like, yeah, you know, I want to fuck, but I ain't paying for it. And I was, you know, just talking to my girl about it. I'm going to drop some other game in a second for the young brothers out there that was passed down to me. But anyway, so me and her were just talking. And the one thing about it that she said, and I've never forgotten this, I've never done it, but it just reinforced what I always thought. When you get into that situation of paying for pussy, you're always going to have to pay for it because you set precedence in terms of what it is. And, you know, one of my OGs told me about this in terms of when a chick tried to hit me to try to fuck her for $100. He's like, the next time that bitch comes to you with that, tell her you charging her $200. $200 now. Because if she can charge, guess what, nigga? You can charge her double.
right. Facts. that's what happens, man. And, you know, the problem with a lot of these guys, too, is that, again, like, the guys that think about just the money aspect of it are thinking, I'm going to get enough money and do it. What you got to understand is, again, like, I was actually watching this guy's speech once, and some dude, he asked the audience, he actually is, do dogs like bones, right? And so most of the people in the audience said, yeah, dogs do like bones. But he said no. He said, dogs like steak, but they settle for bones. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm,
and so it's the same thing with women. Women settle for men with money, but they really want a guy they're sexually attracted to. They really want a guy that they're actually interested in. So they'll settle for you if you have money. They'll be like, okay, well, he got some money, so I'll deal with them. But she's not really into you. This is what I try to really explain to guys, because when it comes down to it, like I said, the highest form of attraction is sexual attraction. And the reason why it's sexual attraction is because sexual attraction is the natural state and the natural biological imperative of human beings is to procreate. So therefore, what happens is that that's the strongest attraction. This is why you have the women running after the guys who's on some bullshit, because the things that men are necessarily doing in society, or civilized society, you could say, isn't necessarily correlated to them being sexually attractive. And this is what guys don't get, because the guy's like, well, I go to college and I volunteer at the homeless shelter and I'm a really great guy. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But she don't want to have sex with you, though. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, you got to be – you can do all that, but you also have to be sexually attractive. So the sexually attractive guy is always going to win in the end. It doesn't matter. And most of these guys who are, you know, on point, 4.0 GPA, making all this money, there's a lot of guys out there who are doing all that, but they're not sexually attractive. And this is why they have a lot of issues and problems attracting women, because you have to have – that sexual attraction, which is going to, you know, make the chick gravitate to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because the whole looks, money, and status thing has been like a heavy topic. And I could tell sometimes when you be taking callers, you be like, man, this is again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But
yeah, they don't
now, where
it,
do you,
though, you know?
Now, where do you think a lot of times this comes in at? Because, you know, one thing about it is,
you know, and me and my homie talked about this as well in terms of the alpha male, which, you know, brings about that masculine authoritative presence. You know, a lot of times women directly correlate that because of the, and I read this one time that it was actually scientifically vetted because of women are emotionally based. So a lot of times
right.
when you're dealing with women who get into the relationships, the nigga ain't shit, he's fucking up, but it's like, you know, a lot, and you know, a friend of mine, she dealt with this guy for a long time, and he take her through a whole bunch of shit, but psychologically, she cannot remove herself from it.
Right.
And
it's the level of attraction, brother.
Well, it's not so much the level. Well, it's, well, that too, King, too, and I wanted to get both of y'all's opinion on this. What comes in the perspective of how women sometimes look at men from the possibility perspective and then the emotional ups and downs that give them that mental, you know, orgasm because of how he makes them feel in terms of that adrenaline rush that they get from the, even with the adversity.
Mm-hmm. I'll let LaCroix go.
Well, yeah, so basically what it is when you're dealing with a woman, the longer you're with her, the longer that she's accustomed to being with you and being around you and like soaking up the essence and all that other stuff, what happens is that she forms more of an attachment. You understand what I'm saying? So what happens is that the more a woman does for you, the more women's around you, the more women has been with you, she's going to form that attachment. So when she has that attachment, it's harder for her to leave. And it's harder for her to leave even if you're doing some BS, even if you're treating her bad. You know what I'm saying? Because she's invested so much time and energy in the situation. So that's going to make it harder for her to keep it moving. You understand? But also on top of that, women they thrive off of a certain type of drama, you could say, in situations. Meaning, what I always tell guys, you want to make sure that you're with a woman who's low drama. But understand, there's going to be some sort of drama there. Period. Because women, right? Because women can't stay away from the drama because the drama makes them feel like the relationship is alive. So the thing is that when you're dealing with a woman, this is why sometimes there could be nothing wrong in the situation or the relationship. But you ever notice you'll be with a girl and she'll nitpick or she'll complain or she'll feel a certain type of way about something that's so small and stupid. And you're like, yo, why are we arguing about this? You know what I'm saying? And that's because she feels she needs that. You know what I mean?
Now, do you think that's in terms of upbringing, do you think that's in terms of how, because one thing about it, Lothario, is we're seeing a situation where we're seeing this, and this is a very serious issue. How much does this play in the black community in terms of upbringing, in terms of, you know, in terms of how children's, you know, in terms of that lack of father figures or mothers thotting it up? And then these kids build these kind of conceptions. And I worked in the public school system for 12 years. So I saw how a lot of this stuff in its nascent stages starts in terms of how these kids seem to develop a lot of these mentalities. And a lot of times, too, how do you feel about how reality shows in terms of certain elements, in terms of how this drama is played out, that it's supposed to be an authentic, that they try to play off as an authentic depiction of black interaction and relationships, but at times is a very self-destructive view of it?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the thing is, some of the drama is just a natural... is actually like a natural feeling or thing that women generally will do. You understand what I'm saying? Or try to bring out. Because it's some, and this goes for any race of chick, black, white, whatever. There's something in them where they feel the need. Because some women will feel like they need that drama to feel like you actually care or that, you know, you love them. If you love them, you would do this or you would, you know, argue with me or, you know, fight back or whatever. You understand? They want some of that feeling because they go off of that. They need, this is why, like, women just like to complain because that's just the thing they do. Like, you could be the perfect guy with a gold dick and she'll still complain. But at the same time, right, exactly, right. That's what you're going to say. You're like, oh, it's not, you're right. That's what happened. But at the same time, there are things that in society and in the media will portray certain things certain ways that encourage more of it. You see what I'm saying? Because, see, this is the – see, the job – see, I did a video I think a few months ago where I said it's a man's job to teach a woman how to live. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so
right.
And so what happens is so what happens is that you need to be able to guide her through all of that nonsense that's going on. Like, shout out to my my dude Everett Overton. He's another dating coach. He had a video where he was talking about how you have to create the drama in your woman's life, and if you don't create it, then somebody else will. So basically what he means is that your girl's going to end up cheating on you because she needs that drama. So he's like, it's better to control that drama. You see what I'm saying? And so, and this is what I tell guys is this. It's not anything you have to do outside of what you're doing. You have to try to do this. But more so what creates drama is honesty. So, for example, if I'm with a girl and, you know, this is my girlfriend or just a girl I'm dating or whatever, the more honest I am, the more drama is going to create itself. Even if it's drama that lasts for like 20 minutes, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be there at a certain point by you being honest. Now, the reason why that's going to be there is because men and women naturally do not see eye to eye on certain things or don't see things the same way. So what happens is
right.
that because she naturally doesn't see the things the same way as you, drama and conflict and friction is going to be there in some form or fashion. Now, depending on how much or how little, that's dependent on you and the situation and the girl or whatever. Now, I say it's unhealthy to have a lot of – I don't like drama at all. I like low drama, zero – I don't want any. You understand what I'm saying? But what I know is that drama happens based off of you being authentic and real. So, for example, let's say you're with a girl and she's like, oh, hey, I want you to come to brunch with me tomorrow and my friends. And you're thinking, listen, I'm not trying to go to brunch with you. I'm going to sit home and watch the game. You understand what I'm saying? So now you've created conflict. By you being honest and saying, hey, I'm trying to watch the game. I ain't trying to do no corny-ass brunch eating eggs with your girlfriend. You see what I'm saying? So the more honest and authentic you are in your situations, the more that comes out. And then what happens is that you're giving her drama fix. You see what I'm saying? With yourself. You see? The problem is, especially with a lot of guys that you would consider quote-unquote nice guys, the reason why nice guys finish last and the reason why nice guys get the short end of the stick is because nice guys are trying to alleviate drama. You see what I'm saying? They're trying to be extremely nice so that they don't piss the girl off, so that they don't make her feel a certain way. And that's why women aren't really attracted to those guys, because it's a lack of conflict and drama and tension in the situation. You see what I mean?
Now, do you feel that a lot of guys, that they try to use online dating as a safe cushion?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. They definitely do that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a little bit easier than approaching women in person as far as the risk involved. But if a lot of guys don't know how to do online dating that much, that like correct anyway. So it's kind of like a fool's errand for most guys. You know, most guys don't really have as much success on there as they were expecting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, and the one thing about it is when you're dealing with these type of things, you know, these things have to be addressed because I can only speak for myself. I'm a dude that, you know, definitely has that dog give me at certain levels, but I also, you know, do not want to be that stereotypical black man that is considered, you know, derelict, irresponsible, disrespectful, delinquent in all types of you know, dismissive and abusive. But I have seen this situation play out a lot of times with a lot of black women in the context of, you know, that, like you said, there has to be a drama fix because a lot of women emotionally do need that rush with it. You know,
right.
But it's one thing about it. I've had situations where like a chick was heavy on me and I really didn't even press up on her like that. She jumped at me cause she liked what she saw, which goes back to what you said about the physical attraction.
Right.
And then as we got to talking, you know, it was a situation where I liked her. She was a sweet girl, but we just didn't click in the fashion of what I was into with her.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and I was honest. I told her, you know, we need to stay friends. She made her little remark. And I was like, okay, this is out. There's a lot more too I won't necessarily get into, but it was just basically, but I let her know I was honest. but I think it was a situation where she fell in love with the idea of what things could be with me and her, because she looked at me as that perfect match for her without necessarily getting into my essence of was I really, because I knew I wasn't the guy for her, but in her mind,
right.
She thought I was.
Right, right. No, I mean,
yeah.
that happens sometimes, you know what I'm saying? That'll happen, you know, and like you were saying earlier about the whole thing where there's a lot of guys out there that feel, you know, they don't want to be that stereotype, and that's the thing, you don't even have to be. The thing is, the reason why those stereotypical types of guys attract the women is because it's not necessarily that the women are attracted to guys who do a lot of bullshit and nonsense. It's that around, it's the energy around it. So you can have the same energy, but flip it on something else or some other stuff, which is like, again, like the easiest way is just being honest. Because the thing is that when you are that guy who's honest and you're not afraid to lose a woman by being honest and telling her what you're really about and what you really want, that creates that attraction to where she's going to be attracted to you because you're the type of guy who has that same type of energy as the guy who's a drug dealer or the guy who's a, you know what I'm saying, or some other nonsense. But you don't have to be on that type of nonsense to have that energy. And that's what I teach guys, that, you know, you could be a on-point, attractive dude without having to do all of the craziness. Because, see, the messed up part about it is that most of that is really dysfunction with a lot of these women and messing with these types of guys. That's a dysfunctional relationship. And the thing is, you don't want
right.
to be in a dysfunctional relationship. You want an actual, beneficial, loving, interesting, fun relationship. You can have that, but you also have to be attractive. You see what I'm saying? So the women running after the drug dealer, that drug dealer is attractive to her, but that's still in the realm of dysfunction. Now, if you're an on-point brother who got his, you know, you can have your stuff together, but you're an attractive guy, meaning that you're honest, you're aggressive, you're assertive, you let women know, you know, what you're about, what you're trying to do, you give them direction, you do what you need to do, she's going to be attracted to you the same way, if not more, than the type of guy who's a drug dealer. You know what I'm saying? Because you're able to create that situation without you having to be dysfunctional. You see what I'm saying? And that's the key that I try to tell a lot of guys out there.
And
that's something
real. Yeah. I mean, that's real game. And I mean, the fact is, I think a lot of times, you know, as we go along in this interview, as King is going to have this posted up, you know, we want to say once again, we're not bashing
mm-hmm.
women, but we've seen how these situations, because we'll tell our brothers out there too, niggas got to step their shit up in terms of understanding that, you know, as a people in America, being black, we deal with so much as is. So it is of the utmost imperative that we treat each other well. And in terms of village
right.
and nation building, we have to show, we have to change a culture. We can't change nature in terms of what's already been laid down by the creator, but we can change a culture in terms of how we, in terms of what we project and what we put out there. And niggas is not sexy to have a whole bunch of kids with bitches who
right.
not take care of them. That is not sexy. Ladies, it is not sexy to get with a nigga that you know been locked up with 3 felonies, 10 kids, fucked up credit, you know, and stay at home playing PlayStation all day. That ain't sexy either, you know, y'all.
Yeah, you got to be out with the Jody.
Facts. Nah, real talk.
Yeah, man.
Real talk.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But I know you got things to do, man. I know you got another interview wrapped up. We almost at 9:45.
Right.
So, yeah, if any shout outs you want to give out along with plugging your Game Kings documentary and where to find you.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, shout out to y'all for having me. I appreciate that. Definitely, man. And if you guys want to hit me up, you can hit me up on Instagram at Real Mr. Locario. That's MrLocario. Also, make sure you guys go to Bad Boy membership. So you can check out the Game Kings. When you join the Bad Boy membership program, you can check out the Game Kings right now for free, basically on the Bad Boy membership. So when you join that membership, we have it on there for free. But the official release date for the Game Kings is November 27th, which is Black Friday. So that's the official release date when you can buy the film, and you can have it on. It's going to be a digital download, all that other stuff. You can download it straight to your computer. But if you want to watch it now, you can go straight to badboymembership.com to check that out. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
There you go, man. Right. Thank you for joining us, man. It's always a pleasure, man. And hopefully when you drop the whole Game Kings, the whole Game Kings joint, we could probably get most of the staff on there that was a part of this to get on the show,
right?
And we're gonna chop it up.
Email me. I'll send you a link so y'all can watch it, so y'all can check it out, and then just let me know what y'all think. You know what I'm saying?
Will do.
No doubt, man. I'm gonna shoot that. Yeah, we're gonna shoot that to you when we get off.
All right, cool. That's what's up, bro. All right, man. I appreciate y'all.
Appreciate y'all.
Right,
thanks
again. Peace. On that note, we about to sign up out of here. Check us out this Friday night. We're going to have Richie Rich on the board. So
yep.
You definitely won't want to miss that one. So we out of here.
One.